Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Wittenberg Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another YouTube channel. Nope. When Words Fail, Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with power of music. I uploaded quite a few YouTube videos today, so that's what's on my brain today. But we do have an awesome guest for y'all to enjoy to listen to. His name is Ron Barrett. But first, let me tell you about him. So we're going to meet Ron Barrett, the talented country music artist whose roots trace back to the town of Onalaska, Texas. Never heard of that before, but cool. Now residing in the vibrant city of Houston, Texas, Ron Barrett, alongside his lovely wife and children, is set to take the country music scene by storm. Ron, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, man, what's going on? Good to
All
see
right.
you.
All right, good to see you too. I didn't want to read your whole bio because I wanted to talk to you about your life and everything. But you are in Houston, Texas, is that correct right now?
Just a little bit south of Houston, a little suburb called League City, Texas. But yes,
okay. Now, we're in the metropolis. Now, were you born in Texas?
I was born in Houston.
Nice. Well, I'm a fellow Texan. I was born in Austin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Which I'm sure it's like 2 to 3 hours away from me, or is Austin a lot closer?
No, it's about 3 hours, I think, okay. From us. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Austin. Yeah.
I love Austin. We were just there, I think, December last year. We were down there. We went down, what is that, 6th Street, I think, that we went down. Yeah.
Well, I always say, like they say that Nashville is the country capital of the world, you know. But right. If that was not the capital, I would imagine Austin, Texas would be, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Austin is definitely, if it's not the first, it would definitely be a close second because it's music city, big time.
Right, I'm actually thinking about visiting Nashville pretty soon. But one of these days, I'm going to have to get back to Austin because I have never been there except being born, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful city. Lake Travis, we went out to Lake Travis and stayed out there on a little boat for my wife's birthday. And it was really a lot of fun. Well, it's not a little boat. It was a big boat. It was a big houseboat.
I guess it was like a pontoon boat, maybe.
No, it was bigger than that. It was like almost like a yacht. Yeah, it was kind of like a yacht. Wow. It had 2 or 3 bedrooms in it, big kitchen. It was nice. It was a very nice upper deck with a jacuzzi on it and all that. It was pretty cool.
Did they have a helicopter on it?
No. Okay. It wasn't quite that big.
Okay, so it's not a billionaire yacht. You're right. Okay.
No, it's not. Right. Nice. I wish. That would have been nice. Yeah, I could have had servants, bringing me drinks and
there
stuff.
You go. There you go. Yeah, and turning music on for you so you don't have to play anything. But, so you are very knowledgeable about country music, obviously, because you're a country artist.
Yes.
So I want to get to know you, and I'm sure our listeners too. I'm always excited to hear this answer from every country artist, because every country artist is going to be answers different.
Right.
I always ask them, who is your favorite country artist of all time?
My favorite country artist of all time is going to have to be George Strait. I'm just straightforward George Strait. I mean, yes. I've loved just about every song he's ever done. I've looked up to him. Absolutely. He's definitely at the top of my list.
I think he is forever going to be known as the king of country.
Yes, sir. For sure. Yeah. I remember even when I was a little kid listening to his songs and, I've had a lot of inspirational artists in my life growing up through the years, but as far as my favorite all time, if I was to ever line my life and my music career after someone, it'd have to definitely be George Strait. Cause he's, Texas guy and,
man,
homegrown,
right?
Oh yeah. And number one hits that are out there. Oh yeah, absolutely. He definitely takes the cake.
Yeah. Cause what do you think about, greatest country artists, male artists, and of course female artists too, like Reba and Dolly, Dolly and everything. You always end up with like several of the same names. You have Willie Nelson, of course.
Yep.
You got Johnny Cash.
Yep.
Sometimes, not all the time, you got Garth Brooks in there too. You know,
right?
Which I think he would be. I don't know if he would be one of the children of the king of country, but Clint Black is vastly overlooked, and I think that he's a great individual as well, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah,
I do. I agree. Yeah, I love Clint Black. You know, I also remember listening to him when I was younger too, and I used to sing a couple of his songs when we were out touring and playing in the clubs. We did a couple of Clint Black songs.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like would you consider Dolly Parton to be the greatest female country artist, or is that like another name that you can?
Oh yeah, for sure. She's definitely up there as a queen. Of course, you mentioned her a minute ago. Reba McEntire. She's one of my personal favorites. Right. I grew up on her music, and I don't think I ever heard a song Reba did that I didn't love. So
yeah. There's many names you could go through to be the queen of country, but I think the king is solidarity George Strait. That's the answer that I majorly get is George Strait, you know.
Yeah. So. I would definitely put Garth in that genre too, because not only I mean, George Strait was always strictly country, right? But Garth kind of took it, he took it outside of the lines of country, of traditional country music, kind of put it into that new age style. And he was kind of the first one to do that too. So now a lot of the artists that are coming in the today, you know, we have Garth to thank for that, because without his, you know, his ability to push us into a new type of a rockabilly music, I guess you might call it, or maybe like a pop country style, we wouldn't even have the new country artists that we have today.
And they're all great now. I mean, you got Jelly Roll, which is doing great.
Combs,
Eric Church is like one of my favorites of all time now. You know,
he's awesome. I love him to death. You know, we were actually at CRS this year, and we were there with Jelly Roll. And one of the things I have to say about him, he is such a great guy. I mean, it wouldn't matter if his music was horrible, even though he's got great music. It wouldn't matter if they were horrible or not. He's such a great guy. You can't help but like him. He's just awesome.
Man, I tell you what, man, that's what I constantly hear over and over. He's such a good dude, you know, and he's doing killer. And I think he's won a few awards right now for country music, right?
He has. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I'm really impressed.
So I'm on your Reverb Nation, one of the links you sent me. Everybody go to reverbnation.com/Ron Barrett Music. And I'm looking at you holding a guitar of a Taylor guitar.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite acoustic guitar? Is it Taylor?
It's not. No. Okay. So I own a couple of Taylors, and I love Taylor. But my favorite guitar is Martin. Hands down. Absolutely. So I've got a Martin. I've owned a couple of Martins in the past, and every single time, just the way they play, the way they fit my hand, you know, having a guitar is kind of like picking out a pair of pants, you know. It's got to fit you right. Fit you. And so my hands are, I don't have really long fingers, and so I've always been challenged by playing up and down the neck of a guitar. And so I have to have a guitar with a thin neck. And fortunately enough, I'm able to find those Martins that have a good thin necks on them. Even though Martin are mainly known for thicker necks on their guitars, for whatever reason, I find those ones that they have that sweet spot. They're not too thin and they're not too thick. They're just right for my hands. Yeah. And so I guess that's why they're my favorite.
Yeah, Martin guitars are vastly usually country as well as Taylor's, you know.
As well, yeah, absolutely. But, so let
me ask you this: so for a beginner guitarist, I bought me a PRS electric guitar, and that's great. Okay. It's a bright green. I love it. Looks like slime.
Awesome.
But,
but
for a brand new guitarist, just wanting to get in playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing that you would tell them to do? Because I know like power chords are added to question, like right when you get to go, you know.
Yeah. So what I guess my best advice to give would be to start off slow and don't try to overdo it too much, but learn three chords, stick with those three chords until you can change seamlessly. Right. And then you can move on. So when I started playing guitar, learned how to play guitar, I learned G, C, and D, and the person that taught me those chords pretty much gave me those chords and said, there you go. I taught you those. Now you got to learn the rest on your own.
Right.
So I kind of ran with it. I took that and I started playing, and I watched my lead guitar player that I had at the time on the stage. I watched everything he did, and I just got really seamless with playing G, C, and D, where I could do it without thinking about it.
Right.
And of course I had to perfect my rhythm hand too. So you gotta work on your rhythm hand and then learn to change those chords, swap those chords out. And then once you do that, the other chords start coming easy. So when you start learning the other chords, you know, you start learning A and A minor and E minor and all those other chords, they just start coming easy.
Yeah. Now is the chord F still a front of my gun to do?
It's
because the F chord is like a bar chord, correct? If I'm not
It's kind of a drop down below C.
Okay.
If you're chording it, if you want to play the bar chord, the power chord, then you can play that power chord. But it's still to me today, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It just doesn't affect me anymore. But when I first started playing, it was tough. Yeah, that F chord was, boy, it was tough. I was like, ah, stretching it, trying to get it.
Who uses the F chord now? Nobody, right? Especially not a country kid, because there's a meme. I don't know if you probably saw it, but there's a meme with like three, four chords, you know, and it says three chords. Now go start a band. I'm like, that's the greatest thing ever, you know. Because you're right. I mean, three chords is like, you know, the nucleus of any country song, correct?
Three chords in the truth. That's correct.
Yeah. So go start a band if you know it at three chords, you know. But I want to get into your songs first before we get with the other stuff here. Sunshine Through the Rain has got to be my all-time favorite that you sent me right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sunshine Through the Rain is so... I don't want it's like very personal to you, I would imagine, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. Absolutely.
Now it's also now this is through your personal experiences, correct?
That is correct. Yeah. Okay. Every song that I write, it's pretty much putting a piece of me on paper.
Okay.
And this song is absolutely one of my favorites because it is very, very personal. I actually wrote this song about my wife.
Mm.
And I was going through a really, really hard time in my life when I met her, and I didn't really know. It, like the song says, every day was a cloudy day with storms and thundering, you know, in my life, my personal life. I was very depressed. I was in a very bad state of mind at the point that I was at. And I just couldn't see a future. Honestly, I just had no aspirations of having any kind of future in my life. And when I met her, she literally was the sunshine through all the storms and clouds and everything that was happening in my life. She was the sunshine, you know, that just shined through the rain. And, you know, it really, when I started writing this song, you know, almost every single sentence that I wrote was pulling at my soul.
Yeah.
And so whenever I first played it to her, she hadn't heard it, you know, yet. And I'd written it out.
Oh, really?
It didn't take me long to write it. So I called her in. I was like, look, I wrote a new song. And I actually told her, and I gave a little teaser on a Facebook post that I did, but I wrote the song and I was in the process of writing it. And I told her, I was like, I've got this song that I'm writing and you don't get to hear it yet. And so she was
ready to tease, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I teased her with a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I put a little post out. She's my sunshine through the rain. And actually that's in a post before I ever finished the song. Right. And she didn't understand what that meant at the time. But then when I sang the song to her,
and she's like,
then she's like, I got it. Yeah. Well, when she finally got it, she was listening to all the words and she actually started crying. And she's like, she's like, wow. She's like, I'm listening to all these words and you feel that way about me. And I'm like, absolutely, babe. You are 100% that person.
Well, I mean, that's a strong song. I mean, it's a very powerful song, you know.
Thank you.
I figured that even though it's for your wife, like, do you hope that it would comfort other people to like me listening to it, even if I don't have a girlfriend yet?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I want it to resonate with everyone. I want everybody to feel. So when I put my soul and my whole heart into a song, and I put it out there, I just want everyone to feel what I'm feeling in the song. You know, there's an old song. It's called The Ride. And you probably know the song. David Allan Cole wrote it about Hank Williams. And he picks up the stranger and he says in the song, he says, Mister, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? Because if you can't, then let me tell you, it's a long, hard ride, right?
Right. Yeah,
so those lyrics resonate with me. And so every time I write a song, I want people to feel what I feel inside. And so I try to make that truth come out through my music. And you know, the only way I know how to write a song is from the heart. That's it.
Man.
So,
yeah, because if people can, well, sorry for discussing, but people can spot bullshit. You know,
yeah, right, yeah,
and now more days now is the pop music is a lot of bullshit too because other people write just for views and listens and don't even resonate with the song, you know.
Yep.
And I feel like country is the exact opposite because you find so many emotional stuff within the artist songs that I just love.
I agree. You know, more than anything, when I'm writing music, when I'm writing a song or I'm putting it out there, I'm not going to write anything I haven't personally experienced. So everything that you hear from me is something I've went through in my life. It's something that I've had to deal with, or happy, even the sorrows that I've written in my songs, or sorrows that come from my heart, and the happinesses that are in my songs, like Wild Like Whiskey. I absolutely wrote that one for my wife as well.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that song was written about my wife. I have some other ones that I've written about my wife. So pretty much every song that I've done, has come from those personal spots inside of me, you know, that they come out on paper So I absolutely, every single song that I do, I want it to resonate with everyone, that they can actually relate to the song. Even if they can't relate to the song, I want them to be able to feel my relation to the song through the song.
Not to be on a sidebar, but is someone breaking in your car? Jesus, you want to go check it out?
Yeah, did you hear that? I actually leaned on my key, so I've got one of those.
Okay.
I got one of those stupid key fobs that has the alarm on the outside, So I just leaned down on the key, and I was like, it started going off. I had to scramble for it.
That's okay. He's not being robbed, everybody. He's okay.
Yeah, but I'm fine.
Yeah, which is awesome, you know. What I'm missing about your wife too?
No. So what I'm missing, that song, I was in a dark spot. I went through a pretty bad breakup, and I was actually sitting in a bar, and I wrote that song on a napkin. And it was one of those ones where I was sitting there, and I was like, at first, when I first started writing, it took me like 2 years to write that song. So when I first wrote it, the very first verse of the song, pretty much was written about what I'm missing is the person that's in my life that I need to find. Right. And then the back half of the song was kind of written about, you know, losing that person that meant so much to me, which at the time I had no idea who that person was. And so it's kind of a future past reference. So I guess, to make it easier to understand, is that when I started writing the song, it was written because I wanted to know who it is that I'm missing. I'm going out every night, same old bar, same old club, same old, you know, one night stand. I'm missing somebody that I don't even know that I need yet.
Right. That's
more or less what it is. Yeah. And then the back half of the song is written about, after I found that person, you know, that meant something to me, then now I'm like, you know, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have let her go. Maybe I should have held on a little longer. Maybe I should have stuck around, you know, instead of being so quick to dismiss. Yeah. So that song definitely, that's not about my wife. She's amazing.
You already found her, so that's good. That's pretty good.
She's actually, well, I guess it could kind of be about her, because she's the person that I was missing in my life, you know, at the time. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I have to save this song for last, because this is the song that just released, I imagine. And this is the song that you wanted to promote on this show. Bad Luck.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We all have bad luck. And I would, if you're not, there's a little bit of cussing in it, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's fine, because I mean, what do you say when you have like, oh, fatal sticks? Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah,
you know, you want to just let go and let release, you know, your anger and frustration. And I think that the best thing you could do when you're having bad luck,
it's a little bit of cussing.
You know?
Yeah, the best way I could describe it, which we have a radio edit of the song as well.
Okay.
It's not so violent, I guess.
But
the best way I could describe it is, when I was writing this song, man, it was just one of those effing days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I get them too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was kicking dirt at the time, and I was like, man, this is the most horrible day. And if you listen to the song, it pretty much is self-explanatory. I mean, yeah. I was going to work. I went to work late because I was fighting with my ex all night long. When I got to work late, my boss was like, dude, you're late. You know, get your stuff, get out of here. Yeah. You're fired. So then I went to drive home in that truck that had a little 79 Chevrolet pickup, or I'm sorry, it was an 82 model Chevrolet pickup truck, and it broke down on the side of the road. And I was, and I was like, what else could go wrong? Right. What else could go wrong? I mean, this is just one of those effing days that I couldn't stand being in. And I like, you know, just let me go drink it away. So I got out and I walked. There was a bar just a couple miles up the road I was very familiar with. We actually played acoustic shows there and stuff. And so I was like, man, I'm just going to walk to this little bar. Got there and started drinking. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't stop until I shut that place down at night. And it ended up to be a party because I called all my buddies and they all showed up. And we just sat there and partied all night long. And anyway, it was just, it was one of those times in my life when I was, like I said, I was just kicking rocks, man.
Sometimes you got to just let it, you know, go. And yeah, I mean, we've all had the bad days, you know. I can't say that I've been broke down on the side of the road because I can't drive yet. But I mean, you know,
it's horrible, man. Yeah. Car trouble is the most horrible thing, I'm telling you, especially when you've already had a bad day and then your car breaks down. It's going to cost you even more money and you ain't got the money because you just lost your job. It's like, what else? What else, you know? Like God, what did I do?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So all these songs are said the singles right now.
Yes. Yep. Okay. And,
is there going to be like a full album that these songs are going to be on or,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I have six singles out right now. So you mentioned four of them. We have I Hate This Town and Dead Man Walking are the other two.
Then
I'm releasing the full album. All six of these songs will be on the full album. And then we're releasing a 12-track album with a bonus track. So it's a 13-track album. It should be out, I'm hoping, by the end of August. Stay tuned for that. We're going to have it posted on the website and also on the on Facebook. All our socials will post out when we're going to be doing the pre-release. You can go out and purchase a pre-release on it. And then we're also going to be doing a full release, like I said, hopefully by the end of August. And all right. So all that information will be out on socials.
Perfect. And do we have a title for it or are we still thinking about it?
Yeah, title is Whiskey Memories.
Whiskey Memories. I love it. You know.
Yes, sir.
Whiskey memory. Okay. Because nowadays more people are starting to release singles instead of the albums, you know.
Yep.
But I think that the album tells the story of what the artist wants you to hear. Do you agree?
Yep, I do. I agree. So I'm kind of old school when it comes to that. Yeah. And I want it to be a full album. Of course, you know, the singles will still be there. We actually kicked around the idea of doing an EP, doing singles in an EP. And then, but the more I thought about it, I wanted to prime up the album with the six singles. We originally were only going to release five, and then Sunshine Through the Rain was such a hot commodity. Everybody wanted to hear that and they were pushing for that release. So we went ahead and released that one as well. Mm-hmm. And I have just to give you a kind of pre-warm up.
Yeah,
all the rest of the songs on the album are really a hot commodity right now as well. So I've got people really pushing; they want me to release these songs.
I've
given them little clips on Facebook and on Instagram and TikTok. We've given little clips of the songs, and I've had people hit me up saying, "Man, where can I go stream the song? Where can I listen to it?" Well, unfortunately, it's not going to be released until the album's out, and then when the album's out, you can go get it, and it'll be there for you. So.
And then they'll have a bad day and blame you, right? No, I'm just playing. But if that song Sunshine Through the Rain wasn't going to be released until later on, I'm like, send me the track now. You know? Like, no, you got all wrong. You send me that now. So back to Texas. How do you think that growing up in Texas shaped your musical style and career?
So Texas is a huge part of everything that I do. And I even wrote a song about it that it's not going to be released until the second album. But the title of the song, I'll go ahead and use. Yeah, I'll give you a little tease. The title of the song is She Loves Texas More Than She Loves Me. So
that's a good title.
That song's about my wife as well. We actually had to go out of the state to work, to do a little work in Montana for a little while. And while we did, she was like, man, you got to get me back to Texas. So, I mean, we're huge. we're huge Texas advocates. We love Texas very much. We love our home state. And everything about my music has some sort of Texas in it. It has like the ranch that I grew up on, the country living that I grew up in, because I was born in Houston, but I wasn't raised down here. I was right. actually raised in Northeast Texas and in a very small country town. And I was raised on a ranch. We had horses and cows, and we had, you know, goats and pigs and turkeys and everything. Yeah, we had it all. And I used to break horses and ride horses all the time. So I was, you know, I was very much a country boy, have and always will be a country boy. Yeah. And then I kind of moved to the suburbs of the big city when I met my wife and moved down here. And it's, you know, it's kind of a culture shock, but that inspired my music as well. So not only do I have country roots inspirations, but I also have city life inspirations, which you can hear in I Hate This Town when I wrote, you know, the chorus, I need a bright light city full of bars and whiskey, party all night long, singing songs about drinking too much and getting too strong. All of that came from moving from a small country town to a big city life. Yeah. So that's inspired my music as well. Plus, I have friends that are from Houston area that sing and play and that are out there doing this thing. And those guys inspired me to kind of do this as well, because I was like, well, you know, if these guys can do it, I can do it. So let's give it all and let's do this.
And it's always very comforting that friends have your back, you know, because most people nowadays do not have your back at all, you know. And I'm slowly finding that out. That's why I have very little friends that I choose to be around, you know. And people like you do, I actually talk about it, you know.
And one thing I can say about Texas too, it's the greatest country in the world.
It is. Yes, sir. So what is the misconception people often have about you that you would like to correct?
Probably.
Or if there is any if there is any misconceptions, what are they? And you know.
So, you know, I guess probably the biggest thing would be the way I look, my personal appearance. I, you know, I was a very, very large person at one time. I weighed almost 400 pounds and I lost a lot of weight. And because of that, I have, you know, a lot of loose skin and I went through Bell's palsy, which paralyzed my vocal cords. And, you know, it caused my right side of my face to have paralysis that I haven't gained 100% back yet. So when I sing, sometimes I'll wear sunshades or I may, if I do sing, you know, I have that like a Popeye, because this side of my face doesn't work like it's supposed to, you know? And so unfortunately, my appearance, I'm very self-conscious about that. And I guess one of the misconceptions that people would have about me is maybe that I'm not friendly because of some of the ways that I look, and maybe I'm tough, or I got this demeanor about me that's kind of comes off hard, you know, and it has, you know, nothing to do with that. It's just because of my insecurities. Number one, with my appearance, and my smile is crooked. And I can only smile at one side of my face. So that causes a lot of issues with me.
Right.
Also, you know, the way that I look, you know, as far as having the weight loss, makes me kind of standoffish sometimes, because I'm like, are people judging me because of the way I look, you know, or, you know, what are they thinking about me? But it's not the truth. I'm a very loving, I got a huge heart, man. I'm a big teddy bear. You know, I love everybody. I don't meet a stranger. We've got friends all over the place, because my wife, she's the perfect buffer for me, because where I'm kind of look standoffish, like I'm unapproachable. My wife is, she's all like, hey, how are you? You know, y'all come hanging out. And then when they get over there and they get to know me, then they're like, man, this guy, you know,
this guy's awesome, dude.
We're best friends, and we still keep in contact. We text the people that we meet all over the place. We got friends from Nashville. We got friends in Cleveland, Ohio that we met in Nashville that are really close friends of ours. And it's all thanks to her for being that, you know, that buffer, because I do look very intimidating and I try not to. I'm really trying to change.
Your wife sounds exactly like my mom, because my mom can't not meet a stranger, you know.
That is
my
her.
My dad is very reserved, and he's kind of like very standoffish, just like you.
Yeah.
Because my dad is a retired colonel, you know.
Oh, okay.
And that's funny, because one of my friends says, your dad scares me. I'm like, why? He's the sweetest guy ever, you know? And she said,
I've heard that so much.
Because he never talks to anybody, you know? You really got to get him to talk to somebody, you know?
Yeah, I hear that so much from my kids' friends. They're like telling my kids all the time, oh, my God, your dad is so scary, you know? And I'm like, but I'm the coolest dude. I'm such a teddy bear,
I'm like, right. Yeah, my dad's the sweetest guy, too, you know? But what was I going to say? Oh, yes, but I'm handicapped with CP, cerebral palsy, and I have the kind of like what you have, like why people look at me, you know. But my mom said something to me that really resonates. She's like, don't let anybody judge you based on looks, or don't judge anybody else based on looks, you know.
Absolutely.
And she said you got to learn not to care what people think about you, and I could give two shits about what people think about me now, you know, because it seems like because I work out back, you know, and when people look at me working out back, you know, I guess they feel more acceptable to talk to me, you know, because they see me working and other people aren't working, you know, so never let people judge you for, you know, I mean, just don't care about what they think about you. You know, that's all I'm trying to say.
Yep, I agree 100%. I agree. You know, and I really try to think that way too. Like a lot of times, you know, my wife will say, "Oh, you know, let's fix this, let's fix that." And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Just let's just do this thing and let's just go. You know, we've even got this little funny TikTok that we did in Facebook where she's adjusting my shirt. I'm doing a video and, you know, and playing my guitar in front of me. She's over adjusting my shirt. I'm like, oh, just go away right now. I just want to do this, you know, but I try to think that way. It's very difficult sometimes.
It's hard. Yeah,
it is. It's very hard sometimes, especially when people, you know, look at you in a certain way and they expect me because I'm up front and I'm out on stage and they expect me to be perfect. And I'm not. No, you know, I'm just another human being like everybody else. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else does. Yep. And I have flaws just like everyone else. And, you know, I live in a glass house sometimes and it makes it difficult. It really does. Cause you get judged. I mean, you have keyboard warriors, man, they get on there. And they judge.
But
they
don't
even
again,
know you, but they judge you.
Right. But then again, you're like, you always put this in the back of your head. Yeah. They wouldn't say that in front of your face. I guarantee that, you know, so always think about that, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It took me years to find out, you know, not caring about what other people think about me, you know.
Right.
Of course, if they say something good, it's like hell yeah,
right, awesome, man,
awesome, thank you, but it took me years, and I'm still getting over that, you know. But you know, it just takes time, you know, and everything.
Yep.
But going back to your music again, so in what ways do you think that music can influence or influence or contribute to social change?
So I would like to think that I could be a good influence to people. That's definitely my ultimate goal is I want to, first and foremost, I'm older, I'm up in age, right? So I'm not a young pup anymore. I've been doing this for a long time. And I would like one of the big messages, and I wrote this in a song, and it's coming out on the album. Y'all get to hear it. The name of the song is Destiny. Y'all look out for it. In the song, it says, I'm going to live every single life, every single day, like it's my last day. Right. And age is just a number and I'm never going to let it hold me back. I'm never going to let it stand in my way. And when I do pass away and they etch the words on the front of my gravestone, I hope it says, hold on, because the best is yet to come. And if you could live forever, what dreams would you chase? See, don't let age or handicap or anything stand in your way of doing your dreams. Just because something happens to you in life that's devastating, you can still accomplish your goals. You can still live out your dreams. Don't ever let it stand in your way. Act, you know, chase those dreams like you're going to live forever. Because the truth is, if we're not promised tomorrow, the Bible even says it, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to die today or if we're going to die 50 years from now. We don't know the day that our expiration has on it. So the best thing we can do is live every single day like we've got eternity to live and chase those dreams. Don't ever give up on your dreams. Chase them every single day until the day you die, until the day they lay you in the ground. Chase those dreams, accomplish those goals, go after those desires. Those are the things that I'm trying to spread in the message that I'm trying to give, is that no matter what life throws at you, don't ever give up.
There you go.
Because there's always tomorrow. There's always another day. There's always another opportunity. Even when the worst times come in your life, even when those bad luck days happen, you know, drink it away that day. The next day, get up and stand up fighting and keep moving forward. And my life and everything that I have is a testimony to never give up, never quit, and to fight every single day. From the life I'm living today with my beautiful wife and the miracle that God gave me with her, to absolutely to being able to do music again and perform and being able to write these songs and get them out there, and the impact that it's having on everybody, and all the, you know, everything that's happening in my life is a testimony to, number one, to God's love and grace and mercy. Number two, to love in itself and how much love can change you and how much it can give you. And number three, never giving up, never backing down, and always, always going for the goals that I have in my mind.
I could say it any better, even if I wanted to. That's the perfect. How old are you?
I am 49 years old.
Okay, so I'm not too far from you, because I'm 44.
Yes, sir.
So I'm pretty much right there. Right, I'm coming up, you know, on 45 next January, and I can't believe I just said 45, because I don't feel 45 years old, you know. And
I'm sure I don't feel 49.
But
I still feel like I'm in my 20s. You know, I'm doing this thing, and I'm giving it everything I got.
And that's the best thing you could do, you know. I mean, like you said, never give up, you know. And I'm for certain you're not going to give up on your music career. I'm not going to give up on my podcasting career, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because I'm sure you want to be as good or better as George Strait.
Yeah,
I want to be better as Howard Stern. So I mean,
absolutely.
Yes, sir. So we do have. I said two more questions, but we do have two more questions for you.
Okay.
I know who is going to be on this one. Well, one of them. If you had to do a Mount Rushmore of four bands or artists, who would it be? I know George Strait is like he's automatically up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But who would the other three be between everybody in the whole world? You know.
So Luke Combs would be up there with me.
Okay.
I really love his music. I love his style, and I really admire him. I would say Toby Keith, if he hadn't passed away, because he has been a huge inspiration on my life. And he was an amazing songwriter and a musician, an artist altogether. That guy was definitely in my top, but I'd also have to throw Garth Brooks in there just because he was like an idol of mine when I was a younger man coming up. And I would love to. I'd love to play his bar.
Yeah.
I really would.
I've never asked anybody this, and since you mentioned Garth Brooks and I did too, I want to think about. Okay, so what are your thoughts? Okay, so do you remember Chris Gaines?
I do. Yes. That's probably about the time.
I guess that was like a goof thing that he did. I'm not sure if he was serious or.
I think honestly, I don't know what he was trying to do with Chris Gaines, and whatever it was, publicity wise, or he was just trying to jump out into a new genre. He actually inspired future artists to do that. I mean, look at Taylor Swift. She jumped from country, and now she's doing pop. You know, and you can look at some of the other ones.
Was Chris Gaines pop though? I mean, because I don't know
He was kind of went like a popish. It was more like a popish, you know, thing that he was doing. Whenever he started doing the Chris Gaines thing, I didn't really follow the Chris Gaines thing, because at that time we were doing 90s country. I was out playing and all over the place. And I was more into Brooks and Dunn and doing their music like Clint Black and all them guys, you know? So I really didn't follow the Chris Gaines movement. So I don't really know what he was trying to do with that. And I kind of fell off the Garth train at that time when he did that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the last album that he had that I really was working hard on was like far as singing along with was a Shameless album.
Mm-hmm.
And, we did a few of those songs off of that album. But after that, you know, I kind of fell off the Garth train at that point, but I'm still a huge Garth fan just for the simple fact that he had so many number one hits. He was such a great artist and he really brought a new genre into the country scene. I even mimicked some of his stage styles. So when he would get up there and he'd play live and he would, you know, jump around and all that, I still do that when I get on stage. I still love putting on a show because he always put on such a great show. And so I got those, you know, those little things from him and I mimicked some of that stuff. So I have to give props where they're due.
Yeah. My favorite Garth Brooks song would be Wrapped Up in You, you know, from the Simmons or Scarecrow album, right? Or something like that. Yeah. He has so many albums. What's your favorite Garth Brooks song?
All-time favorite, The Dance. All-time favorite.
Yeah, that's his too.
I mean, The Dance mimics pretty much what I said a minute ago about your life, man. You know, I could have missed it all, but I'd had to miss The Dance. You know, so I'm never going to stop taking opportunities. I'm never going to let those opportunities pass me by. I'm going to take every one of them that I can grab a hold of.
There you go. One last song, and then we'll let you go. This might be the hardest question ever. It always is for my guests. Okay. Is there a album artist or singer or no album artist or band artist album or band that you can listen to, and it means so much to you that you can't tell me or your wife or your kids how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Yes. There is. And I would have to say it's on Morgan Wallen's album. He's got songs on there that touch me in ways, in personal spots. There are songs that touch me personally that nobody else could understand how they touch me.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Well, that's a perfect answer because that's the only answer that I could ask for. Yeah. All right, everybody. So you can go to Ron Barrett, BARRETT music.com. And he is on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. Yes, and sir. Are we on, do you understand TikTok? Cause I'm not really too accustomed to it, but,
yes and no. So, okay. So my daughter and my wife helped me a lot with TikTok.
Okay. I'm sure your daughter doesn't know what to do. Yeah.
My niece, she knows everything about TikTok. If I have a question about TikTok, I'm like, Callie, come here. She comes in here. She shows me everything. Yeah.
Cause my niece knows about more TikTok than I ever will, you know?
Yeah. All right.
So, you can go to Apple Music to hear the songs that are, Sunshine and Rain, Bad Luck, What I'm Missing, Wild Like Whiskey, Dead Men Walking, and I Hate This Town. And then has an album at the end of August coming out called Whiskey Memories, and that's on pre-sale right now, correct?
It will be within the next couple of weeks. We're going to get it out on pre-sale. Okay. We'll be advertising that on all of our socials, and we're pretty much streaming on every major platform.
Every one of them. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. So you're very easy to find.
And yes, sir.
Yeah. So we do honestly thank you for coming on, and big shout out to Caden Gordon. He's like one of the best brothers I have for getting me in touch with you. And I'm sure he has helped you out, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I love Caden to death. Such a great guy.
Yeah, he is. So yeah, like I said before, please come back on anytime you want to. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. And for everybody listening, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.